You know, we all have a mission in life. We all have a mission in life. And I don't know what your mission in life is, the reason for your being, the reason for you being here. I don't know how you see your mission. Some of us have a mission statement, particularly if we are a personality or a company or a business. We'll have a mission statement that will tell people what we're all about, why we're here, what we come to do. We all have a mission in life. I like this phrase, what on earth are you here for? What on earth are you here for? I like that because it has a double meaning for me. What am I here for? And why am I on the planet? Because every single one of us is here for a reason, and none of us are here by chance. God brought you here deliberately. Despite how you came here or who you came here through, God had a plan to bring you here, and you are here and alive for such a time as this, and God has a mission and a purpose for your life. And it's vitally important that we all understand what our mission is and why we are here and what we've come here to do, so that we can mark our life's activities against our mission and ask ourselves the question, how am I doing? You can, as they say, give yourself a checkup from the neck up and ask yourself, how am I doing against that mission? I wonder, it would be interesting if I could take a survey today and ask people, what exactly is your mission in life? Why are you here? What do you want to do? Why have you come? Because every single one of us needs to know what our mission is. And I want to let you know that Jesus was no different. Jesus had and has a mission, and his mission must be accomplished. It must be accomplished. He didn't come here just to play around. He came here for a specific purpose or specific purposes and reasons. And God had it from the beginning of time as part of his mission to send Jesus Christ here on earth. We've all maybe heard about the film Mission Impossible, or perhaps we've seen the film Mission Impossible, something that seems almost undoable, but then they do it, and it becomes Mission Possible. Now, for Jesus, it's Mission Possible because he aimed to complete his mission, and he did complete his mission. But how many of you know that Jesus passed the mission then on to us? He's passed the mission on to us, and it's for us to continue the mission of Jesus. So I want to spend a few moments speaking to you today about the mission of Jesus, because it's vitally important that we understand the mission of Jesus, and it's vitally important that we live out the mission of Jesus. If we are Christians, if we are believers, if we are saints, it is our responsibility to carry out his mission. Now, if I give one of my children or one of my grandsons something to do and ask them, could you do this for me? Could you carry that out for me? They're more likely to carry it out for me, particularly if it's a difficult task, if they love me. If they love me. When my parents asked me to do jobs and I found those jobs difficult, I found them frustrating, I found them a challenge, but because I love them, I wanted to fulfill the mission. And so it is with Jesus. If we love Jesus, we will want to fulfill his mission. And I'm reminded of Moses' word to Israel. When he spoke to them in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he said to them, "Hear, O Israel, listen up, Yah. Listen up, you all. The Lord our God, the Lord is one God. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." So if we're going to fulfill the mission of Jesus, we'll do it because we love him. And if we love him passionately, we'll want to do what he's asked us to do passionately. We'll want to be obedient to what he has asked us to do with a great passion. Now, remember last week, it may have even been the week before, we looked at that verse in Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And then they replied to him, and Peter replied. They first replied, some say that you're John the Baptist, some say that you're a prophet, some say that you're Elijah coming back from the dead. And Peter said, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, flesh and blood have not spoken this to you. It's been revealed to you of my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that you are Peter, little rock, or small grains of sand. And on this rock, on this mammoth truth that you've just spoken, I will build my church. And he went on to say that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell will never be able to prevail against the kingdom of God. And so we know from that Jesus has a mission, that he gave the mission to his disciples, and he then rephrased it and called it the Great Commission. And that word commission is really made up of two English words as we know it, co-mission. Co-mission, that means that we're all involved. It's not just a mission for one person, it's a mission for all of us. It's a co-mission, the Great Commission. And Jesus appointed the 12 to go and start the Great Commission, but then the people that they would bring into the kingdom, you and I, would then be charged with the call to go out and fulfill the Great Commission. So let's have a look at that in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, let's look at verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, watch, listen, look up, because I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Or unto the end of this age. Or unto the end of the earth. Behold, I'm with you even unto the end. So this is the mission of Jesus, and now he's made it the commission for all of us, and this is what he says. Now, when we think about this church, it reminds me of the fact that what we consider to be church is maybe something slightly different to what Jesus considers to be our mission. See, when we talk about church, we think about somewhere where we can go and be happy and be clappy and hear wonderful sermons and really, you know, get a quiver in our liver, to quote you all the rhymes and all the sayings. And we leave church saying, feeling like, I feel good. And I knew that I would because I went to church and I was blessed. And we tend to feel that church is an event or church is a place that we go to. But that's not how God sees it. The church, as we said over the last 2 weeks, is a called out people. And we as the called out people are members of the body of Jesus Christ. We are all members of the church. And the church has a great commission to fulfill. And this is why we can't stay home during COVID and watch church on TV or on computer and feel that we are doing a great job. Nor can we come to the house and praise the Lord in this presence, in this atmosphere, and feel that we're doing an even better job. Actually, Jesus is looking for far more than both of those two things. He's looking for us to go. Now, this morning we have come. We have come to the church, but Jesus wants us to go. He's not content with us coming, he wants us to go. And he says, go into all the earth. Go into all the earth and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of all nations. And so we have a great commission that we have to go out there and make disciples. And so when we come together as a body, we come together to plan, to orchestrate, to develop, to feed ourselves, to nurture ourselves so that we can become equipped to do what? To preach the gospel, to win the lost, to build the church of God, to plunder hell, to populate heaven. That's our mission. That's our mission. I thought you'd be more excited about the mission than that. I thought you'd get stirred up and you'd say to yourself, yes, we've got a call on us. We've got something to do. We're not just here to be happy and clappy, but we've got to go out there and reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus gave them a strategy. He said to them that they could start in Jerusalem, in their local vicinity, amongst their friends and their family, in their local community where people know them. And how could they do that? They go back to the friends that they left when they said that they left the world. You've got to go back to those friends and back to those family members and back to those school friends and back to those raving parties and back to those pubs and back to those places where you used to frequent. And you've got to start having conversations with people. You've got to start doing life with people. You've got to start loving people. You've got to start demonstrating a new way of life to them. You've got to start rubbing shoulders with them. And if all we do is lock ourselves away in our little spiritual enclaves and have happy, clappy church, then we'll never be able to fulfill the gospel. We'll never be able to fulfill the Great Commission. But in order to fulfill the Great Commission, we've got to go out there and meet up with the people that we once were with. And we've got to let them know that we haven't forgotten them. And we've got to let them know that we're still here. We still love them. We still care about them. And if they need anything, we're here for them. Amen. So I want to ask you this morning, who is it that you could go back and visit this week? Who is it that you could call on the phone? Who is it that you could send a message to? Who is it that you could connect with through social media and just do life with them? You don't have to get all weird on them and start bombarding them with scripture. You don't have to start asking them weird and awkward questions like, are you baptized in Jesus' name and are you filled with the Holy Ghost? They'll be like, what? Don't get all weird on them. Just befriend them. Just spend time with them. Just be there for them until you become that person in the family. You become that person in the community who they call on when they have needs. They call on when they have mental issues, when they have spiritual issues, when they're confused about life, when they need wisdom. They know that they can rely on you, and so they call you for a word of encouragement. They call you for a word of wisdom, and then you can allow the Holy Spirit to use you to speak to them. The Bible tells us that we don't even have to worry what we say, because the Holy Spirit will put the words in our mouth even while we are there, and we will know what to say. I love it when people send messages to myself and my family and to other people I know, and I hear it come back to me that somebody said, oh, we called upon you because we couldn't think of anyone else because we know you're close to God. Isn't that wonderful? They know that you're close to God. Oh, we thought we'd call on you. We didn't know anyone else who could pray. We thought we'd call on you because you would understand. That is why the church is there. Remember what I said a few weeks ago? We are a candlestick that you put up on a hill so that everyone, a great light that you put up on a hill. We are a modern contemporary term. We are a big torch. We are a big beaming light that you put up on a hill and you beam it over the countryside so everyone can see who we are and where we are. And we bring light into the darkness. So when they're squabbling in the family and complaining in the family and being negative in the family, you come along and you bring light. You bring the peace. You bring the love. You bring the harmony. You speak the gentle words. And you show them that you are the church and that you are on a mission. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And if you be lifted up, you will draw all men unto you, because you are a little Jesus, a little Christian, a little Christ-like one. That's what it means to be Christians. Little Christ-like ones, Christians. And we're supposed to be drawing all people unto us. Do you know, there should never be a week when the church gathers where there's not a new person present. With the amount of us in here, we should be influencing everyone around us. We could even meet someone on the way to church and we could invite them along. But every single week when we gather, we should be seeing the church growing. Why? Because we are living a relevant life. We are living an attractive life. We are having an influence on people. And because we're doing that, we should be attracting new people to us every single week. Amen? Every single week. And so Jesus gave us the Great Commission and said that we must go and lo. Go and I'll be with you, and go and preach the gospel, and lo, I will be with you. So that's the Great Commission that Jesus gave us. I want us to turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. See, because some folks get it a little mixed up. They get it a little twisted. They feel that their job in the church is to turn up to church services and turn up to prayer meetings and give offerings. And if you're doing that, as far as regular kind of thinking is concerned, you are there now a dedicated member of the church. That don't make you a dedicated member of the church. That makes you a spectator. That makes you someone who's consuming. But that doesn't make you an effective Christian. Here's what makes you an effective Christian. Jesus gave gifts to the body, to the church. He gave gifts to the body, to the church. And those gifts are supposed to be working in the body. Hear how they're supposed to be working and what they're supposed to be working for. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he himself, that Jesus, gave some to be apostles, traveling ministers, some to be prophets, that's preachers and speakers, those who foretell the will of God and the purposes of God, or the ways and the attributes of God, some to be evangelists, those are those who go out and reach those people who are further afield with the good news and then bring them in. And some to be pastors, those are the shepherds and the carers of the flock. And some to be teachers, those are those who educate, who expound, and who train and disciple the believers. Jesus Christ gave these gifts to the church. And if you represent one of those ministries, the apostolic ministry, the prophetic ministry, the evangelistic ministry, the pastoral ministry, or the teaching ministry, whether you teach children or whether you teach adults, if you represent one of those teaching gifts, then you are a gift from Jesus to the church. Let's give a round of applause for all the gifts that Jesus has given us. He's given us, for us as believers, it's Christmas every day. Christmas every day. Every day we got gifts. Every day it's Christmas here. We got gifts every day. So he said he gave all those gifts, but he gave them for a reason. You know, when you get gifts from on your birthday or gifts at Christmas, there are some people just give you any old gift, and there's some people that give you a gift with a purpose. Jesus gives gifts with a purpose. So he gave all these gifts, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints. Touch yourself on the chest and tell yourself, I'm a saint, I'm a saint. Tell the person beside you, you're a saint. We are all saints. Saints don't have to be dead. Saints can be living. We don't have to die to be saints. We're all saints now. Amen? That's the common generic term for believer, for Christian, for church member. Saints. There was a humorous time in church one day when one of our leaders got up and said, they were making a public confession that we're not all perfect. And they said something like that, something like this. Let's face it. Not all of us are saints. And everyone gasped. Because they realized what they were saying. Not all of us are saved. You know, we're not all perfect all the time, but actually, we falter or we make mistakes. But actually, all of us are saints. All of us are saints. You could be a good saint or a bad saint, but we're all saints. Amen? Do you remember, who was it? Simon Templar, the saint? The saint? He went around doing good deeds? He could be a little metaphor for us. We go around, we're on a mission, we're doing good deeds. He says, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry. Somebody say work. Yes. Ministry is work. Yes. We didn't come here to play. We didn't come here to be entertained. We came here to work. Somebody shout work. Yes. We came here to work. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. We're here to edify the body of Christ. We're here to administer medicine, feeding, nourishment, nutrition. We're here to feed the body of Christ. We're here to edify, to take care of the body of Christ. Christ is the head. We make up the body. We are the many members. And he puts a time limit on it. He puts a time limit on it. But I don't know if we could ever arrive at this time limit. He says in verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Wow. The purpose of the fivefold ministry is here to equip the saints and to edify the body of Jesus until we all come to the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For the edifying of the body, verse 13, till we all come into the unity of faith. We all understand the same thing. We all believe the same thing. We all stand on the same assurity. That's what it is for us to come into the unity of faith. We lay hands on the sick and they recover. Amen? If necessary, we lay hands on the dead and they rise back again. Amen? We all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Brothers and sisters, we need to come into the full knowledge of who the Son of God is. We need to come into the full understanding of who Jesus is and what he has deposited in us. And we need to understand that we can manifest those gifts and abilities that were given to us by Jesus, that he's called us for a person. We are powerful people. That's why the Bible says how do I say it? Which translation do I use? The fervent, effectual power prayer of a righteous man, that's a generic term, of a righteous person, avails much. It makes tremendous power available. And that's why when we pray, we know that we are doing tremendous things in the earth and in the heavens. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried away or carried about with every wind of doctrine, with every wind of teaching, by the trickery of men. Have you watched the news lately? The news is full of trickery. I think the government's full of trickery as well, actually. I think what we're seeing all around is just full, the marketers of this world is full of trickery. And if you listen to them contradicting each other, contradicting what they've said, oh, we've just discovered now that actually it didn't go like this, it got like that. But you had us all running up and down telling us it went like this. Now you're telling us it go like that. Then we find out you're not even doing what you said we should do. Every form of trickery, trying to manipulate us into this and manipulate us into that. We should not be carried around, blown by every wind of teaching, by every new ideology that the world is spitting out, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Do you hear how deep this is? The cunning craftiness of deceitful... What are you talking about, Dennis? Who's this? Who are they? World leaders, governments, organizations, popular culture, social media. It's full of this stuff. How do we avoid it? By becoming into the full maturity of Christ so that we actually know who we are and we know what God has said and we're not running up and down frightened and having fear about the things that's coming on the earth. But speaking the truth in love. That means with gentleness. That means with humility. That means with compassion. Some people will say to you, I'm just going to tell you the truth. I'm just going to tell you the truth. They know it's going to kill you, but they're going to tell you the truth. That's not speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things into him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by whom or by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I apologize if I'm reading a slight different version from the one you have or you're looking at on the screen. But the whole purpose of the fivefold ministry, the whole purpose of the ministers is to feed the body, to edify the body, to teach the body in such a way that we all become mature, that we all become equal to the stature of Christ, we become built up in him, that we're no longer babies being tossed to and fro, we're no longer just on milk, but we're on meat, that each and every one of us can stand as a warrior, as a soldier, qualified, equipped to do the works of the ministry. Now let me try and tie this together. If that is the mission of Jesus for us, once we have come together in this way, it is our job to do the work of the ministry. That's what we are to be about. We cannot live out our days just going, marking our days from one church day, Sunday, to the next church day, Sunday, and that's all we're doing. We've got to find ways to be developing our ministry to reach people, to reach the lost, to bring in the sheep. How many of us are prepared to make a commitment today, to make a resolution today, that we will no longer just be members of a church or attenders of a church, but we will become members of an army that is organizing itself in such a way to orchestrate a penetration of the gospel into the local community, into our friends and families and beyond, to see the kingdom of God built up and to see people saved for Jesus Christ. That's our mission. Let me see the hands of those of you who are committed to that, who would recommit yourself to that. You know, the best way to cope in this world is not to focus on the things of this world or to focus on your weaknesses or your sins or your flaws. God knows all your weaknesses and all your flaws and all your sins. Don't focus on that. Focus on Jesus and focus on the work that he's called you to do. If you focus on that, you become too busy to be sinning. You become too busy to be drawn away into lust. You become focused on God. You know what we have to be careful of, guys? Especially those older ones of us, we can get into the place where we think that our mission is our job. Where we think that buying our new house or fixing up our new house or building our family or getting ourselves a partner or getting rich through business, we think that that's our mission. But you know what? When we die, we're going to leave all that behind. And that's why the Bible says we must store up treasures in heaven where moth and dust cannot reach and cannot corrupt. We must deposit as much as we can in heavenly places. And how do we do that? By being obedient to God and by following the works of his ministry. Brothers and sisters, I want to challenge you today. We are trying to round up everyone in town that is prepared to join this ragtag army of Jesus, that is prepared to be a member of the body, is prepared to identify who you are and what you are supposed to be doing. If you are willing to identify with Jesus and to say, here I am, Lord, use me. The Lord will reveal to you your call, your giftings, and your abilities, and he will show you exactly where you're supposed to be. You remember the old song? The hand or the which bone is connected to the ankle bone? The hip bone connected to the thigh bone, and the thigh bone connected to the knee bone, and the knee bone connected to the which bone? The ankle bone. And the ankle bone connected to the foot bone. And so it went on. That little song that we used to sing. Remember that in nursery school? Yeah? Hear the word of the Lord. We want every single member of the body to be reconnected to the body and deployed to do the works of the ministry. This is the time that we're in. We're living in the last days. Last week, I was watching news, and they showed me fires in Turkey. Then the next day, they're showing me flood in Turkey. Then the next day, they're showing me all that's going on in Afghanistan. Then in Europe, they're showing me roasting heat in places like Spain and Italy. The few days before that, they were showing me floods in those places. Now they're showing me hurricanes in Haiti. Earthquakes in Haiti. The world is in a state. Everything that is prophesied in the Bible to happen is happening. And now we can actually see that men's hearts are fearing them for fear, for things that are coming upon the earth. The Bible said it would happen. They're even calling conferences to discuss it and to work out what they can do. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, everything that we see now is prophesied to happen. And we are going to see more increasingly the distress of the nations. We are going to realize that governments and rulers and man have no answers to these problems. It is time for us now to arise as the church and take our rightful place. God has work for us to do in these days, and we have to be radical. No one should be fearing their life right now. No one should be fretting over what they will eat and drink for tomorrow. No one should be worrying about their tunic and their purse. We should be just doing what Jesus says, just going out there and doing the work of the ministry. By all means, don't quit your job. By all means, buy that house. By all means, get wed if you want to get wed. By all means, bring in the interior designers, but don't have all your focus on that. Because what we have down here is temporary. Turn to your neighbor and tell him it's temporary. It's temporary. It's temporary. We need to be working towards what is permanent. Amen? Everything horizontal is temporary. We need to work towards what is permanent. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And let's ask God to give us the wisdom to re-identify with the body, to find our place in the body, to be connected where we need to be connected, and to go forth and do the work. The commission, the commission of Jesus must be fulfilled. Father, we thank you that you have called us into this great mission, into this great commission. That, Lord, each and every one of us as members of the body have a role to play, have a part to play. Lord, we know that we have not followed you 100% all the time, that we all have weaknesses and flaws. But Lord, we know that you're not looking at that right now. You're looking at what we can do for you if we give our lives to you. And so, Lord, we confess our weaknesses. We confess our failings. We confess our flaws, though they are many. And we know that you are more than able to forgive us and to cleanse us and to make us righteous and clean and just before you. And Father, we declare right now that as we give our lives to you afresh, as we commit our lives to you afresh, Lord, that you will come, that you would send your Spirit to equip us, to empower us, to cause us to stand in these last days, to cause us to be a people that's ready to do the work of Jesus. Lord, cause us to be that light in this earth. Bless this church as we endeavor to move out, not just to gather in, but to move out and to do your will and to do your work. Lord, we pray that we will be able to snatch souls from the perishing and souls from the dying, Lord. Rescue the perishing, rescue the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. We thank you for the power. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for your truth. We walk with you now faithfully in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.